Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow travelers. This is Nicole Tomasini, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift. Of course, New York, I'd like to say hello as well with some sirens, if you can hear that. And today, we are without our co-host, Gwen. She's a little under the weather, so we send her lots of love and light to be feeling better. But I am joined by a wonderful author, professor, and intuitive. Her name is Maureen McGill, and she's calling in from Tacoma, Washington. So welcome to the show, Maureen.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's fun to be here.
Yeah. Maureen contacted me after hearing our shows, and she just wrote a book called Baby, It's You, Messages from Deceased Heroes. And her book is a collection of true stories of heroes who have died in war, such as Iraq, Afghanistan, World War II, and 9/11, stateside accidents and suicides. And it's a love story on how the couples met and how they meet now. And so I gave it a read. It's a small book, and it's a lot of exciting stories. You feel there's a lot of emotion that's available there, and you meet these people on their journey and see the personal side of what it's like to have someone on the other side, especially someone who's been in a war. So maybe we could start talking about the book. Like, how did you get the idea even to start writing it?
You know, Nicole, I've been in choreography for many years at the university, directing a dance ensemble, and I've had these war themes in my choreography probably in the last 15 years. I don't really know where it comes from, but it's kind of there. I've always been dedicated to veterans, you know, especially the love that they give to their country and what they do to sacrifice for their country. So I've been always interested in that whole theme of war and grief. And somehow, after my first book, which is called Live from the Other Side, and that was co-authored with a gal by the name of Nola Davis, and together we collected stories of experiences of those who had passed over and messages that they gave to their loved ones after they passed over. And I think because I was in dance, I've always felt like the awareness extends beyond the body. And I got very interested in the intuitive and became a supporter of the International Association of Near-Death Studies. So these people have flatlined, gone over to the other side, and then come back and talked about their story. So I became involved in Seattle Ion's group, and then I started to get very interested. And then I said to Nola, my co-author, after we finished the first book, I said, you know, the second book I think I want to do on my own, and I want to write it about soldiers and messages that loved ones get from their soldiers after the soldiers have died. So that's kind of where it went.
Wow. So
yeah,
go ahead.
It's published by Ozark Mountain Publishing, and Dolores Cannon is the publisher there, who recently passed away last year, very much into the metaphysical and the belief systems that those on the other side truly do communicate with us.
Wow, she probably is like an Obi-Wan for Ozark, right?
That's right.
That's pretty cool. So, so do you speak with spirit, and have you ever been visited by a quote-unquote ghost? What's your experience in that?
So in terms of my own experience, you know, I wouldn't say that I've ever been visited by a ghost. I think I know that I heard my dad's voice in the car one time. My dad was on the other side and had died, and I was on my way to a funeral, actually, at the university. And I was living near the water at that time here in Tacoma, And it was a beautiful spring day, and something kind of told me in my head, you know, don't go to the waterfront. The traffic might be bad. It's a beautiful day. Everyone wants to see the view. But then I said to myself, no, it's beautiful. I need to see the water on my way to this funeral. So I started to go along the waterfront, and I saw a group of really handsome GIs that were running along the sidewalk of the waterfront. And I thought to myself, oh, you know, it's so great to see these fellows running. And then my next image was the vehicle in front of me, this SUV, and it was filled with young gals, and I thought, oh, I hope they don't get distracted by these phones. And at that moment, I heard my dad's voice in the car go, pump your brakes. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that was my dad in the backseat. I didn't even care that, you know, that was a, you know, there was a little bit of an impact there, a fender bender when it happened. So I just pulled over, and instead of, you know, being upset about the car, I was like, oh, my gosh, I just heard my dad in the backseat. So that was pretty much my only, experience directly, you know, like hearing a voice. But I have been working with the tarot cards in the last 20 years, and in the work that I've been doing, I've been trying to connect with spirit through that, or at least to bring messages of healing and hope for those who read with me. But I don't consider myself a true medium in a certified way. So.
Mm-hmm. So if it comes through or something comes up, you'll say, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if the message makes sense to the receiver, then it makes sense. Yeah.
Right, right.
But I know your gift is a direct portal. As a medium, you have a direct portal, you know, to your phone line, kind of to the other side.
Well, I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about you. I mean, I know some people that just zoom right in. And I wouldn't say I'm that, but if someone's talking and I can hear their frequency, I do the same as you. I'll just say, well, sounds like this is happening. So, So then when you went around and you talked to the different loved ones who are still in this plane, like what was the, first of all, how did you find them? And what was the experience hearing about their story?
Well, something kind of told me to really go after those who have lost loved ones in war or war-related situations, which might be a stateside accident or it might be suicide. And I just started to put it out to widows, recent widows of Iraq, Afghanistan, who might have stories of their loved ones, and just made some connections, actually on Facebook, of all places. And then the word just kind of got out from there, and the widows told other widows, and it just kept unfolding for the messages to come through that way. Then I did find three stories of surviving heroes, and I also found some stories from mothers of soldiers who have lost soldiers in war-related situations and or 9/11, which I considered a war-related situation.
Right.
A firefighter who came through.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow, so they just showed up. That is really... sort of how you would expect, right?
Yeah, but you know, I was so surprised that the widows were so willing to share their story. I thought perhaps the grief would be so difficult that they wouldn't even want to talk about it. But you know what? They said that the press wanted to know how they died and how they were doing at home and how were the kids. But she, you know, she would say to me, but Maureen, I want to tell you that what I've experienced, you know, I really smelled him. Or the kids saw him on the porch, or whatever that, you know, connection was. She wanted to share that, and it was so real. The experience was so real. You know, it wasn't kind of made up. That's
mm-hmm.
what kind of made it different. I wrote this beautiful poem at the beginning of the book that I'd love to share with your audience here at some point, and it really talks about how these couples met and then how they meet now.
Sure, that'd be wonderful. Go ahead.
So there's an old song from the 60s by The Reflections called Just Like Romeo and Juliet. All right, now I'm speculating, wonder what tomorrow's really going to bring. And we met in the laundry room in college. He carried my underwear to my dorm room. And these are the true ways that they met. In high school at a wrestling tournament, through my cousin, at Walmart where we worked, at a country bar on a Thursday night, at a nightclub on the dance floor, at a costume party with mask and a hat, on Instant Messenger, I was 17, he was 19, through his best friend Jeremy, in grade school where we played on the playground, on Facebook, and we were married after 1 month of dating at the pawn shop on a blind date on New Year's Eve in the convertible when I stopped for a red light and he pulled up right next to me at Burger King where we worked at age 16 on a website called Hot or Not where we exchanged photos. When he was a football player and I was a cheerleader. But we meet now in my dreams, in the hallway when I smell him, in bed when I feel his skin touch mine, when I see his silhouette, his shoulders, his head, how he held his arms out like he was holding a blanket. When the song comes on the radio, at the restaurant, at church, or in an elevator. When I find pennies on the ground or in the weirdest places. When the basketball bounces on the court and no one's there. When I see him staring at me from the waist up when I'm in bed. When I find a Dutch key ring in the middle of the desert from him. When I meet the police officer who's wearing your bracelet. When I hear your voice saying, my son. When the kids see you standing in uniform on the porch. When I find the heart-shaped sticker on a leaf. When the digital frame stops for no reason at your photo. When he comes to me in my dream with a message. When I hear his voice singing his favorite song, just like Romeo and Juliet, just like Romeo and Juliet. So those are the true experiences, you know, of how they actually met these couples and then how they meet now. And they're just quite beautiful experiences, you know, of how they come through in the senses, you know, might be one of the ways, or you might have a dream or a waking vision.
Wow, it just gives chills.
Oh, it's so sweet. You know, they're just, to me, it's that love connection that never dies, you know. I also wrote, you know, in this body we can't hold, but now breath holds us and follows us in dreams and visions, waking magical moments that feel so real, and songs that fuel our hearts and dance in our memories that imprint never leaves. And it is all good, and it's all bad, and it's all ugly, and it's all beautiful. It's everlasting love. So, you know, songs are another way that we communicate. I don't know if you have a song that you've connected to in a relationship that you might have had, but everybody seems to have a song that's their song, you know? And song will often come through. Electronics are a way that they communicate, I think, from the other side, the vibration of electronics.
Yeah, I find that, you know, when I'm tuning in with spirit or even if I'm not consciously, my Pandora station will play songs that are pertinent to what's happening. And that's really
yes.
cool. I just feel like it's either my counsel or, you know, my dad or something. So, and I think the more you pay attention to that, the more they do it because they see that you're paying attention. And so, you know, kind of gives you a giggle in your heart. Where you're like, wow.
Absolutely. You know, and it's like being aware. You know, like when you're aware, it's right there. You know, in the elevator, and all of a sudden you hear our song. It's like, what are the chances? But what are the chances
right.
if you're awake to really hear it, you know?
Yeah.
I know, I'm sure many of your listeners have that experience where that song comes on, you go, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you, and then that song comes on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you say is, like, the overall, like, theme of love? Like, I guess I'm looking at, you know, that love connection never dies. And so it's like it must be extremely healing, but I'm sure kind of, like, weird at the same time for, like, I'm thinking of, like, a wife and her husband's on the other side and, you know, it's like you're already having all these emotions. So like, how would you say this love connection, you know, through the veil is helpful?
Well, you know, we can't hug them and we can't kiss them necessarily, you know. But there's a knowingness that they're with us when we smell them, when these situations happen where, you know, the digital frame stops for no reason, like with their photograph, and it just stops in the room for no reason. It's like they're saying, hey, I'm here. I'm right by you. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear my dad's voice at the back of the car, what are the chances? But in this life, you know, he got a new car every 2 years. He was a salesman. He spent a lot of time in the car. It would make sense if he would be in the car to, you know, help me be safe, maybe in the car. I don't know, or just want to be in the car, want to take the drive. You know? And I think that's what's happened with these widows, you know, one of which she had the situation of Allie and Robert would just always try to make her laugh, you know. And she had this framed photo of him sitting in the living room. And she took a photograph of it one day. And when she took a photograph of the framed photo, she saw all these orbs, you know, which appeared all over the photos. And they were like kind of these circular whirlwinds all over the room. And she said, you know, Maureen, I had no doubt that it was him. And she said it was so comforting to her to know that he's always there. And so I think that's kind of sweet, you know, that they have those experiences and they can wake up to those experiences and how that love thread, you know, never dies. And another sweet connection that this Allie had with Robert was after he died, she woke up at about 4 a.m. for no reason. And he used to wake up at 4 a.m. because he had to go to physical therapy or PT training, not physical therapy, but physical training every day for his work in the Army. Well, he'd get up at, you know, 4 o'clock every morning. So she wakes up at 4 o'clock for absolutely no reason after he dies. And she said, Maureen, I could feel his presence. She said, I used to sleep in his armpits, you know, when he was in bed. And every once in a while, she said, I could smell his deodorant. And it was a, you know, a particular brand. She could get a whiff of that fragrance. And she said it was a clear, neutral scent with subtle kind of citrus tones, real distinctive kind of deodorant. Now, he'd been gone for quite some time, and yet she had that experience. And it was at 4 a.m., the time that he would have woke up. So I have no doubt that he was coming through in that vibration of fragrance to give her that love message to say, hey, I still love you, you know, I'm still around. It's sweet, you know.
So do most of the people find it comforting? Does anyone did you talk to anyone that had trouble, like, dealing with the fact that their loved one's around?
You know, I didn't
have
any dark side of anybody. No one shared any kind of dark thing with me. I mean, sure, there's dreams that were kind of difficult for them once in a while, but everybody would set their tone into this place of pure love when they talked about it. And they would just say, you know what, it just was so real. The hair stood up on my arm. I never felt like, you know, I was scared or I got to go, you know, run under the bed or something, you know. Not at all. You know, they just always felt that this was a clear message that they're just saying, hey, we're here. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. It's like our loved ones know how to not freak us out.
Right. Wow. You know, and the music is just such a cool way, too, because music is usually, you know, really happy and that was a real love connection they had. Maybe they danced together. Maybe they just loved that song together. Maybe it was a song from their wedding, you know. And that song will just come out at the weirdest times and the weirdest places. And you go, whoa. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a great example because we all have this, you know, you don't have to have someone on the other side, like a loved one. I mean, most of us have somebody, right? But our counsel mm-hmm. and our angels and our guides and any kind of ancestors can communicate with us that way. So I think there is a great lesson to be learned here in your book because, you know, the veils are parting and getting thinner. So there's a lot more communication. So to hear kind of how it works, when you read your book, you can make these connections in your own life. You know, maybe you missed a few signals. I mean, I'm sure we probably all do, right? Because
Oh, right.
But this way, you know, you have a little bit more example and you can go, oh, you know, that happened to me. Like, oh, was that, no wonder I felt that way when that leaf blew in my face and that means something, you know. Because usually it's coupled with a feeling, isn't it? It's not just, oh, here it is. But like you said, the song comes on at a particular time, you know, in a random, and you were just thinking, right? There are things that line up.
Mm-hmm. So
people
there
to recognize
was this firefighter,
the
like, there was this firefighter, mm-hmm. you know, he died in 9/11. And he loved to cook. He was just quite the chef, you know. He was a rookie fireman. And, he was a chef. He loved to cook. He loved to bake cookies, you know, and that was something that he did at home all the time with his sister. He always had that smell of cookies. So they wanted to bury him out in this cemetery, a crypt, I guess it was on Staten Island. And he even attended a culinary school, you know, while he was doing his firefighting training. And when his sister visited Michael out at the crypt, she wasn't there just a short time. And, you know, you're in that kind of cold place, really. I mean, it's not exactly a happy kind of place where you're in there. And she goes, all of a sudden, she could smell cookies. And she started to get closer, you know, like distinctive baking chocolate chip cookies. And when she came home to tell her mom, she said, oh, my gosh, I mean, that had to be Michael. That had to be him, you know. And many of us would kind of dismiss, did I just smell cookies? Like, there's somebody around here, you know. And, you know, it was him. It was definitely him, you know, saying, hey, I'm here. I don't hang out maybe at the crypt, but I want to let you know that I'm here, you know.
Wow, that's great. I was just thinking about this morning. I smelled a cologne while I was cooking my breakfast, and it smelled so familiar, and I wasn't quite sure whose it was, but where did that come from? I mean, and overpowered the bacon.
A drive-by.
A drive-by.
Oh, my God. That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's amazing how the message can come. And fragrance seems to be an interesting way for them to come through that, you know, that veil. Of course, dreams are too, but sometimes it just wakes us up when we really smell that fragrance because it's so distinctive. When you smell that cologne this morning, you know, it's distinctive, and now you just kind of have to think about, oh, maybe later on you're going to get a call from somebody who was thinking about you, or maybe with your dad's cologne if he's on the other side. I mean, you'll just sort of know later. You know, you always have to know right then, you know.
Yeah, right. And if nothing else, the cool moment that happened, and at least you recognized it. Yeah.
You know, just paying attention, being aware in our lives. Sometimes the grief gets a hold of us so tight, we just send that vibration out in the world like they're dead, they're dead, they're dead. You know, I'm never going to hear from them again. Whereas the consciousness continues to flow. We may not be able to hug them, like I said, or kiss them, but that consciousness flows, so why wouldn't we be able to smell them? Why wouldn't we be able to maybe hear a noise? Now, not all of us want to see the lights go on and off or the TV go on and off, or maybe not all of us want to see a ghost apparition or anything like that, but there may be just a subtle message that a way that you communicated with that person when they were alive, that then that message might come through to you here in waking. If you and your mom always talked in the kitchen, then maybe the message will come in the kitchen. You know, if you and your love always put together projects in the garage, maybe the message will come in the garage, you know. I believe that there's a kind of familiarity sometimes in where you're at with that person that the message can come. That may sound kind of crazy and wild, but I kind of think that there's a truth to that.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. What was I going to say? it's like something came and just like, I don't know, like hijacked.
No, that's all right. Let it just come and go.
Yeah. So did you want to read any of like a caption of the book, or should we move on to the tarot, or what would you like?
Well, I wanted to give a little shout out for a person who wrote the preface for my book, the foreword, actually. It's Reverend Bill McDonald. He's a chaplain, a Vietnam veteran who was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and a remarkable journey that he's been on in his life, many near-death experiences. He's written a book called Warrior, A Spiritual Odyssey. He's encouraged me to write this book, and he also wrote a beautiful foreword for me. And I wanted to give a shout-out to him and his book, which is Warrior, A Spiritual Odyssey. But in the foreword, you know, I have every story in the book that's attached to a song. And he attached the foreword kind of to the Bob Dylan song. He says, you know, for those who have lost loved ones in any war in a cruel terrorist attack like 9/11, those losses have a huge piece of their heart that's taken in their soul. And that long black cloud that Bob Dylan sings about does come down with its continuing veil of grief and sorrow. And that's why stories such as these shared within the book become powerful and important. They give those who have little hope or joy some inspiration and meaning, and it reminds us all that life does not end with our worldly death. that the stories within show that some can still see and sense that their loved ones continue to love and exist in another place. And some may call this place heaven. They first begin to believe, and then they know that those loved ones who are still very much here and with us, if invisible to the human eyes or touch, and that long black cloud can be lifted and the darkness can be illuminated through our connections with our departed ones. In contacts through various mystical and spiritual encounters and feelings sometimes speak loudly and clearly to the heart. And he says, you know, never, never doubt the power of love to cross over and embrace us at any time or any place. He's found in his own life experiences that verifies the truth time and time again. He's had extreme mystical experiences. He'd be a great author for you to interview someday. It seems that death is not that, you know, it's like death isn't that dark place, you know, that dark frontier that we used to think about as fear, fear, fear. But this life and consciousness does go on and it never ceases. And he says, you know, this book appears to many to take on a sad subject because, you know, these are deaths and many of them are very young when they die. But he's saying it actually opens up heaven's door, just like Bob Dylan's song, just enough to give us the greatest hope and faith. And so I'm honored to have him as part of the book and to kind of share in the sacred stories of this book. So I wanted to give a shout out to Reverend Bill McDonald, who wrote a book called Warrior, a Spiritual Odyssey.
Wow, well, that's exactly what I was going to say earlier when I lost my train of thought. I guess we were just waiting for you to read that because I noticed that when people are sure they're going to talk to or communicate, if need be, with their loved ones, it happens. And if someone passes and the person who's still in the flesh, it feels like it's impossible or it's this death, this dark ending, then they have to go through like this whole thing, their own thing, before there can be any communication. So I think that's an important thing to put out there, like as the spirit therapist, you know, for anyone who's listening, you know, it's my experience too. I mean, I had a spiritually oriented father, and when he passed on the other side, I was just sure that, well, you know, this will be an interesting new aspect of our relationship. And it is. I mean, we have some of the better conversations than we had when he was in life because he's totally clear of any kind of, you know, earthly issues, I'll say. So it's always possible. And the relationship continues to grow. Like sometimes you get radio silence. And it's really because there's nothing that needs to be said. You know, they're here, hello. But, you know, we'll talk later when it's time. And when it's time, they do talk. So I think that's important if anyone has loved ones on the other side and maybe weren't sure. It seems like we have to get through our own doubt and fear or whatever is blocking us and just go, okay, I'm here, I'm listening. And then things start to happen.
Right. That door can open, maybe that, like you said, that veil can maybe be less thick or less heavy. But it is remarkable how, when you least expect it, is when the message comes sometimes. You know, you're driving in your car, you hear that song, oh my gosh, what are the chances of that song to come on now? Or, you know, whatever it might be. I had a situation myself this spring. I recently retired from the university. I was a little bit late going to the graduation ceremony, which was at our Tacoma Dome, but I was getting my act together, and I don't know, I felt just a little bit funny about going, because, you know, I had to stand up in front of hundreds and actually thousands of people in this Tacoma Dome, and I grabbed my gown, my graduation gown, and I started to the car, and I remembered a student that I had the first years of teaching. His name was Scott Galliateria, and he was a Hawaiian student, and he really taught me about the hula, because I was a dance professor. Taught me about hula, took me to Hawaii. I watched him dance with the Brothers of Casimiro in Hawaii and really found out about the sacredness of hula dance. So anyway, for some reason, I'm thinking of Scott. And so I get in the car and go, Scott, help me get a parking space and help me, you know, kind of soothe my way into the ceremony. So believe it or not, Nicole, I get in the car and I'm driving down to the dome. I turn the radio and on the radio comes this Hawaiian music station. Oh, I had no idea it was on. Okay, Saturday afternoon, this Hawaiian music station's on. It's blasting. And then the next thing I hear is, this next song is by Brickwood Galliateria. which is Scott's brother, okay, singing this beautiful ballad, and I'm thinking, what clear could be the message of Scott is with me on my way to the Dakota Dome? So if we sometimes if we just put it out there and we listen to the message, there it is, you know, even though we're frazzled or things are happening in our lives, if we just take a moment, then the message can come through in kind of a sacred way. It's beautiful.
Well said, absolutely. Nice. So I was wondering, you know, maybe for our, well, right on time, we're exactly the 30-minute mark, if we could transition into looking into your tarot talents and maybe, you know, just, well, I don't know, this is what came to mind, you know, maybe we do a little reading to see about talking with someone on the other side. And, I mean, I'll be the guinea pig. We have a caller that looks like from the chat room, I think, might want a little reading. But we'll start with me for a little example, and then we can open up the mic and see what's going on over there. So you gave me a reading. Actually, Maureen read for me a couple weeks ago, and she's very fast. And she's right to the point. And you said that you definitely like specific questions. So and we went through like 5 or 6 different areas of my life in less than 20 minutes. So Maureen does not mess around. So, but, you know, I don't know. My father's on the other side. I have a whole council over there that, you know, I'm tuning in with more and more. So, and I consider my father as part of the council. So I didn't know if maybe you wanted to pull a few cards, see about, like, a message from my council so people can see. Or we could do something else. What do you want? What do you think?
Well, we can
what
try
you
it.
Like?
You know, we can try that. And we can look at the symbols. And the symbols will just tell us an interpretation or a meaning of what that message might be. So we'll see if that has a message, and I'll pull 3 cards, and then we'll see what the message might be and if that resonates with you on any level.
Sounds
pull
good.
3 cards. So the first card from Dad is 7 of Pentacles. If he knows right now that you're building things, you're building your practice maybe, you're building your foundation, that Pentacles are starting to mount, and Pentacles are money or starting to build your foundation in the work and what you value in your work. Would that make sense for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So he's there. He knows that you've got that hoe in your hand and that you're trying to build that foundation right now. He also gives you the message that you're moving over troubled waters, that you're moving ahead now. You're not alone in this. He's with you. That counts, like you said, there are helpers on the other side. But you're not alone in this journey, like none of us are alone in this journey, that we do have helpers that help us from the other side. And it says you're moving over troubled water. So there's been some challenges, and who hasn't had challenges in the recent past? But anyway, if there has been challenges, it says you're moving over that now. You're not alone in it, and the water's under you. You're in that boat, and the swords aren't moving ahead.
That fits, absolutely.
And then the third card is you, the Queen of Cups. Now, she's artistic. She's sensitive. Obviously, you're sensitive because you're in the work of the intuitive, but that's what she represents in the card. So you're developing maybe that side of yourself, the poetic side, the mystical side, the creative side. You might be a great painter, artist, or writer, or whatever your talents might be. Maybe you love music as well. But Queen of Cups is also nurturing that sensitive side. And it also could just be in your work and sensitivity that you do with your cards and the spirit work that you do in your intuition.
And my feminine side, because I'm a fire sun sign, so more Queen of Wands. But my moon sign is Cancer, which is very Queen of Cups. And so I'm learning to balance have a firm, protected foundation for the female to come forward. And it's also coming in song. I'm learning my upper register. So that totally fits.
Beautiful. And your dad also knows that Knight of Swords, that you are moving ahead now. You've got your sword out. You're not sitting back anymore. I don't know if you were sitting back recently, but not anymore. You're just like pushing ahead, moving forward. There's an important friendship around you that's helping to validate this for you, or he's saying that, you know, you will find this work as your friend in this life. And it says just things will work out, work its way out for you, and not to worry anymore, but you're going to find that balance that you want to find in your life. Love and work. That's what everybody wants to know about.
Sure. Where's my money? Where's my man? Right.
Well, and the next card is the Six of Pentacles, and that's the money. So you're really working on establishing the money going here and there, establishing the foundation of what you want to create in your life, and you're unleashing your creative talents with the Magician. So your creative talents are helping to create that balance of security for your life, and not to let fear, you know, trap you in any kind of way, but to let your imagination move forward. And there's that Queen of Wands. So that's your card. And the Queen of Wands is great with a career, great with her intuition, and she's pushing ahead. She's learning to protect herself, to be conservative, and to really change some old patterns that have no longer served her. You're also very sensitive to those around you who are in need or have some challenges in their life. And it says you're coming home to success in the work you do in service and helping other people. So keep going at it, girl.
Wow, that is great. I'm so glad I asked this question. Wow, so cool. See what I mean, everybody? She just goes right through it.
No, that was cute.
That
I'd love
great.
To take that call in if that's a possibility. That'd be fun to have somebody from the chat room. Or
yeah, let's see. I'll open your mic. Iris, Iris, yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes, pretty much.
I'm sorry, I just heard an explosion. I was just trying to see if there's something wrong in Manhattan. Just give me a second so I can look at
I can't hear you that well.
I heard an explosion. I'm trying to record some things. I could turn down the sound. One second.
Okay.
I'm scared, though. Hold on one second. Let me just hold on.
Well, I saw that Iris was saying in the chat room that she was on Skype and but she heard a man's voice say chat.
Absolutely.
And she said she had something supernatural happening, so.
Yeah, in my apartment I do. I have something strange. Like I don't know what it is exactly. I tried to clean it. It was under the dresser. I'm trying to clean everything.
What's that noise? Is that
it happened. Just 1 second. I'm trying to mute everything. Let me just see if I can just mute every. I want to try to mute every tab. Oh shoot! But I wanted to also make sure there's nothing like exploding or on fire first. Let me just see. Just 1 second. Statue of Liberty cameras. That's going to be up loud. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to turn this down.
Well, we can't really hear you, Iris. So
okay.
Why don't I?
You know what? I'm going to just turn. I'm going to turn off the cameras. I really need to see them, but it's okay. I'm going to mute them. Is that right? Mute this tab. I think I found.
There you go. Much better.
Anyway,
you'll have to start all over because I couldn't hear you at all. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I remember we're on a radio show I listened to, and I think it was about your husband. Like, your husband talks to people, you know, like he told somebody he's going to get that job and something like that. Are you the same person?
Me or Maureen?
No,
your guest, I think.
No, it's not me.
Oh, don't worry about it. But when I saw the word monsters, you wrote a book that has the word monster in it?
Oh,
no,
yeah,
not
that's
me.
Our, Here Be Monsters, that's our, that's what our thing is on Blog Talk. But anyway, so did you want Maureen to pull you some cards, or...
Whatever, I see monsters. I have monsters. I feel like I have monsters in my house. I see them outside, and they do things to me. It's a good word to call them. I see giant monsters, and I have videotapes of them, so I could prove that I'm not crazy.
Wow.
I have I even videotaped what was underneath that dresser. I cleaned it with, like, several different products. You know, I sprayed it. But I had the video, you know, tape on the whole time. And now I'm, like, slow-motioning it. Now I'm putting different effects to see. The best effect, I think, was some kind of, like, white, like, it's called haunt on one of
so,
the programs.
So are and these monsters, are they good monsters, bad monsters? What's happening?
I don't think they're good, and I don't know what I did wrong, and I want to, maybe I got cursed or something. I'm not even,
all right,
like,
so let's have Maureen pull you some cards. How do you feel about that, Maureen?
Okay. Well, I'm okay with it, but I want to know, is, are you scared by these monsters?
Yes.
Or does
yes.
it, you are scared, okay.
Yeah, it's
so,
a lot.
You know, my thing is, I think I heard you say you tried to do some clearing.
Well, cleaning. I, you know.
Okay, so cleaning and clearing are two different things to
yeah.
me. So I would. I don't know how long you've been in that space or whatever, but I do think sometimes there's energies in the space that maybe are stuck. I really don't go to the dark side in my readings, or, you know, feel like the dark side is after us or anything like that.
Listen, they
so
could,
what I would do, I do think that objects can hold energies that sometimes are negative. So I would continue to do the smudging as they do in Native American medicine, which is taking up sage and burning it, or incense and burning it in the space, opening
okay.
the windows, asking for light, lighting, bringing in a fresh flowers or the vibration of fresh, you know, in
oh,
that house to kind of clear that.
I burned sage. Maybe I should burn some now. There's something about them, though, that is infecting me, like, well, I had spiders, but it was like an unusual amount. Like, there was no balance of bugs to spiders. At first I said, I never killed a spider before. I never wanted to because they're good, because they get rid of bugs. But there were so many of them, I had to call an exterminator, and it all barely helped. You know, they could be hiding anywhere.
So, did you want to? What do you think, Maureen? You want to? You want to
see if
pull
they could
some guidance cards, maybe?
So,
yeah.
You know, my guidance card. You know, you're going to get your wish to clear this space, to continue to put your prayers out there. If you have a faith factor, you know, to allow the good light to come in, and not to allow yourself to get absorbed by these symbols of, you know, critters that are coming into the space, and
right.
not, you know, not following that drama of what that might be about in your life. Because I'm pulling the star around you, which is hope, faith, light, beauty, and grace. All you have to do is kind of switch your energy here and not buy into that, you know what I mean?
I
so
hope
that you continue to protect yourself, to walk away from the fears that you have, and to know that spirit brings new love, new beginnings, new hope in your life, to do the things that will help to support the space, such as smudging or ringing a bell. Some practices will ring a bell or a chime in the house to keep it clear.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's playing that music that shifts the vibration in the house, or bringing in sometimes the spiritual person who can help to shift the vibration in the house.
I like that. I like to sing, so I don't know if that helps. I sing all the time, usually, but it depends what I'm doing. But sometimes, you know, when I'm distracted, but sometimes it's like all of a sudden I feel like I get an ambush, you know, and they make prints, like, whatever these things are real. Like, you can see them, like, I put down this diatomaceous earth, so they make these footprints type of, you know, prints in the powder. And I can see their shape on my bedspread or on a sheet or on a pillow, you know?
Well, a lot of times they're attracting, like, where our energy is, too. I mean, you know, as the spirit therapist, I feel the need to chime in here, like, you know, everything is everywhere, and there's light, there's dark, there's everything in between. So what we're putting out, and if what we're putting out is fear,
yeah.
That sort of gives a window and a place for fearful type things to come in. So, you know, it's your house. You choose. And so it sounds like you also need some boundaries. I don't know if you know
yeah.
about calling in your four corners, but I would definitely put out some protection guards out there.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience in anything spiritual. My father was an atheist, so experienced those type of things. I talked to my father, and he seems to help me when I need it, but he hasn't helped me with these things.
Well, a lot of times if we're too down, they can't get all the way down there, right? Go ahead, Maureen.
Right. Yeah. So I looked at a book I have on the medicine cards by Jamie Sams and David Carson, and they talk about the symbol of spider. And it said, as spiders dropped into your web today, it's time for you to create, to look for new alternatives to your present impasse. They could be warning you that you're coming too close to an entangling situation. Spider could be asking you to use a journal to write out and review your progress. It brings a message of a different kind when you become involved in the weaving of your life now. So I think it's a time, congratulations. You've been caught it just in time. You've missed the opportunity on the edge of your web or reality. So now, as Nicole said, dissolve around the fears, turn the life around and do some new creating for you that can take the negative side into the positive side here, honoring your energy and your creativity.
I also have a chronic disease that's incurable, and it's a very supernatural type of paranormal disease called Morgellons. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Well, incurable is also a concept. I mean, right now it's all about making the impossible possible. So especially, all these things have metaphysical reasons for them.
Right.
So, let's see. Maybe, calling in your protectors and your guides and your angels. I mean, if you don't have a lot of, if you haven't tried that and you don't have a lot of experience in that, that can totally shift your entire help so much with the fear and help you to not feel alone. Like Maureen said, no one's ever alone. We're the ones that decide we're alone. So, to open up to that. And who knows, this incurable quote-unquote disease may just become non-existent. I mean, it's happened before. It happens a lot.
Unfortunately, people have suffered for over 30 years from it, and there is a dark side to it as well. And there's a connection between like the dark side and this disease. I don't know if you ever get a chance to watch Harold Cavella. He's a scientist, but he kind of makes this connection between science and the supernatural or the paranormal, so to speak. But he does very eloquently. If I find the link, I'm going to put it in the chat room. I just recommend
that you said just chat room, because Supernatural Radio just chimed in and signed in. So hello, Supernatural Radio. And you said both chat room.
That's
and Supernatural,
friend.
So.
That's my friend. That's my Corrine. I love her.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank
All
you
right,
for calling
Iris.
In
well,
today.
But
yeah,
I'll take a meeting or whatever you can do to make the energy here better.
We always send you love and light, especially when you call in. So, that's already been happening. And so just tune in with the love and light and receive it. That's the final message here. And you'll be just fine as long as you tune in towards the love and the light. That's the way to go. So thank you, Iris.
All right.
Blessings
to
you.
Thank you. Can you find me an angel guide? How do you find me? How do you locate your angel or spirit guide?
Maureen, you want to take that question real quick?
How do you locate? I'm really having a difficult time hearing you. What was the
question? Yeah, she said, how do you locate your angel guides?
I think you continue to use your faith factor and pray, ask for the sign, ask for the awareness around you to come through so that you can be aware that and the knowingness to know that you are protected. And your guides are with you, and you just have to have the knowingness, But I know there's lots of authors out there that give great books on how to connect with your angel guides and do that meditation every day that helps you to bring in that good light and that healing light that you so need in your heart right now.
Oh, yeah, and you can check out Doreen Virtue. She has a lot of great books on tuning in with your angels. But just open the door. Yeah.
Thank you, girl.
Yes, you're so welcome. Many blessings.
Take care.
All right. Well, there you go. So a little trip down. You never know, right? Everybody's
right.
Got their own story, going through all kinds of things. And I think the message here from our caller Iris is once again, to if you want to tune in with loved ones who are on the other side, if you want to tune in with angels that maybe you didn't know in the flesh, then all you need to do is look to see how we can look through the darkness, what we see as darkness, but it's just denseness, right? Through the veil, and ask the question, just pointing our focus towards, I'm looking for you, brings them.
Right. And do the
and
work here, do the action here, you know, do the action here, do the work here that you need, do the service work, help others be in the world in a way that promotes this unconditional love that's all around us every day.
Yeah, and that's the truth. You know, everything else that we've been sold is a lie. It's around, the love is there for everybody, and not one person is walking this earth on their own right now at all. We all have our own congressional, Congress, gathering community that's on the other side. Because if you're here now, you know, you deserve to be here, and you're supposed to be here, and you got something to do. So, So yeah, just dispelling that. I mean, if that's all that anyone gets from it, to dispel the idea that we're alone and, you know, that some people don't have love in their life. That's not true. Everybody has others. And their community, and everybody has the potential for love and a happy life.
Absolutely. So I wanted to let your listeners know that they could reach me at my Gmail account, which is messagesfromheroes@gmail.com, messagesfromheroes@gmail.com. Or they could check out my website, which is babyitsyou.org. Or they can check me out on Facebook, which is Baby It's You, Messages from Deceased Heroes. And the book is available on Amazon and Kindle. You can get it on your Kindle. It's also available through the publisher, Ozark Mountain Publishing. But it's there on Amazon, too. So love to have the support of your listeners to take a look at the little book and share it with your loved ones. And know that that love thread always is with us. Love never dies.
That is great. Nice. Fantastic. Oh, I'm so glad that you come on the show with us. And if people want to have a tarot reading with you, they can just send you an email. Yeah?
Just send me an email at messagesfromheroes@gmail.com. messagesfromheroes@gmail.com.
Great.
And we can set it up.
Very good. So I'm thinking maybe, I know that you like more specific questions, but we have about 5 minutes left here. We have a nice song to play at the end. It's very apropos. But, you know, we're all dealing with Mercury retrograde one way or the other. And it's over on the 25th. And I talked with my astrologer yesterday, and she said, well, the 14th or maybe it was the 15th, we were over the hump. So maybe if you could give us a little reading on, you know, the end of Mercury retrograde, like tips to deal with it, you know, how it's going to be when we're right side up and we're moving forward. So maybe we do both of those.
Okay. So, you know, Mercury retrograde sometimes can affect electronics or cars or computers or televisions, or you just need to redo the contract again, take a close look at that contract, just kind of be extra observant. But I understood from my astrologer that this particular Mercury retrograde was not so bad for many people. So whatever the aspects are, I'm not an astrologer, so I don't really know. But we can take a look at kind of on the world basis of what we have to look forward to here at the end of January. It's the Three of Cups. Things will lighten up, lighten up, lighten up. And that means we'll lighten up, go with the flow more, which is a really good thing. And there'll be more offers, maybe more offers and more opportunities for things. We're always going to face some loss in the world. We've got some challenges going on in the world right now. But there'll be maybe two ways that we're going to solve the peace and bring more peace into the world as we come into this new spring coming up. So that's what I get.
Wow, that is excellent. It does feel like that. I mean, when she said that we're over the hump, it does feel like there's a shift, because those first 2 weeks, you know, like I said, there was no straight line, no A to B. It was A to H, A to minus 2, whatever, figure it out. So I know that with Mercury retrogrades, you know, it's all these things that we need to deal with. We need to think a different way. And then once we come out of it, and I would imagine in a year that's so chock full of raw go, like 2016, that, you know, it's going to be like horses out of the starting gates. So maybe we pick a few cards to see what's it like at the starting gates.
You mean in the world kind of, or?
Yeah, like the energy, like after the 25th, like once we're out of the retrograde, what are we looking at here? You know, how fast do we need to go? What's going on?
So one of the things that we're going to have to learn about is patience, you know. We have patience in the world. We need to put around our leaders that star card, which came up, and a leader, a male leader, King of Wands, is hope, faith, light, beauty, and grace around our leaders so that they're holding the truth, these leaders that are coming into power, females and males, so that we bring hope, faith, light, beauty, strength, and honesty in what's coming for the near future. I think we will see a more female power coming into the world. That's the Empress and the Queen of Wands, women who will be assertive, not aggressive, but assertive in helping us. We'll be looking at our financial systems a little bit differently coming in, and justice, our systems will start to balance itself out or make some changes within that balance.
Excellent.
Kind of what I see for the future.
The return of the feminine and of the goddess. Wow. Very nice. Very nice. All right.
Already kind of seeing that unfolding, so it's good that it's, you know, being supported now.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much, Maureen, for joining us. We'll have to have you back again. This has been really informative and loving. It's great.
And thank you. Thank you, Nicole, for the work that you're doing in the world, too, in terms of healing and bringing light into lives and helping people through their journeys. So my book called Baby, It's You, Messages from Deceased Heroes, and it's available, like I said, on Amazon and Kindle, or check out my website, babyitsyou.org. And it's published by Ozark Mountain Publishing. So thanks again for having me on.
Thank you so much, Maureen. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to The Consciousness Shift. We will see you again soon. And, enjoy the end of your Mercury retrograde and clean out those closets and do whatever you got to do, because it's going to be go time soon. So... thank you, everyone. Have a great day, and we'll play off with Baby, It's You.
Sha-la-la-la-la. It's not the way you smile that touch my heart.
Sha-la-la-la-la.
It's not the way you kiss that tears me apart. What can I do?
I can't help myself.
When baby, it's you. Baby, it's you.
Sha-la-la-la-la.
what they say about you. Cheat, cheat,
la 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 la.
They say you never, never, never been true. Doesn't matter what they say. What can I do when it's true? I don't want nobody, nobody knows. Baby, it's you. Baby, it's you. Baby, it's you.